JazzCast Pros.
Marshawn is the bomb, let me just tell you. She started a company called High Vibe Cowork. You are going to learn all about cowork. I'm going to give you the top takeaways from my conversation with Marshawn about how you can develop a high vibe life. Like, subscribe, and share. Tell your friends, tell your peeps. Listen, shout out hello to Mary Beth, the Onward Run coach. Check Mary Beth out. She is always giving me big props, and I gave her a shout out last week, but I totally messed up her IG handle. So Onward_run coach, Mary Beth Scott is the bomb. We have known each other for many years, and we reconnected on IG. I am so encouraged by her journey, and just she keeps me going just by reaching out and listening to the podcast and letting me know that she's there. So Mary Beth, thank you so much for always being there. Big shout out to Amy and the Grounded in Maine podcast. Amy, can we link up soon? Thank you so much for always listening, for supporting, for liking, for sharing. And can we please get together soon and talk about all things gardening and mental health? Yeah, I like that idea. I like it. Let's make it happen. Hey, welcome to Healthy Illness Podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Marie. Healthy Illness is the podcast helping you to build healthier relationships while living with mental health conditions. And I'm a part of the JazzCast Pros Network. This episode is all about cowork with a co-host on the network. You might have listened to, tuned into, seen posts about, even seen a photo or two of us together. I want to introduce you to Marshawn Hargrave. Marshawn, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am so excited about our conversation and to hear about your mental health journey, what that's been like, what you've learned, and how other folks can, you know, pick up a few tips and ideas from you. So welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be on this episode and be with you. And so I run a company called High Vibe Cowork. It's a virtual community for women entrepreneurs. You know, entrepreneurship is a very lonely roller coaster, and I have found that community makes a huge impact in that journey and just like seeing yourself in others, you know, the motivation, the inspiration, the education. There's no specific roadmap for entrepreneurship, and how you build a business, it would be very different than how I would build a business. And the roller coaster that we go through is so similar no matter what we're serving the world with. You know, like you and I have different podcasts, yet the motivation to show up, the grind part of it is exactly the same. You know, a lot of people ask me, like, what is virtual co-working? They kind of understand, they have some education around a physical co-working space, but like you just open a Zoom room and people show up and get stuff done. Like it doesn't. Logically, you're like, well, you can do that on your own behind your computer, yet so many people don't. And to have an intentional space, you know, and there is, as Jazzy mentioned to you, I'm potentially seeking out an ADHD diagnosis and kind of going down that path. And body doubling is a huge thing in ADHD and just makes such a huge impact. You know, there are people out there who they set their phone up so they can create videos or TikToks or Instagram lives of them like cleaning up a room, because just the fact that like someone else is there kind of doing it with them is just a way to work with your brain and not like shame your brain into like, why can't you just? You should just, you know, that's an inner critic voice that we hear a lot.
And so what brought you to this space? Like, what made you say, this is the thing I'm going to do? You kind of touched on it, but there's something that was like a aha moment.
So during 2020, I was in sales for a software company, and I was making about 250 cold calls a week. When I was in the office, I had like a system and a routine and other people, like I couldn't just be sitting there like doing nothing. And then when I was working from home, there's so many other things that you could be doing, like, oh, I'm going to do the dishes, or like you know, my husband and daughter were home at that time too. And it's so easy to talk yourself out of doing things like cold calling because it's not super fun and exciting to do. And it's not, I was cold calling car dealers who don't really want to talk to me. I said, you know, if I'm struggling with this, other people are too. And I had built up a pretty good network at that point. And so I just put it out to my network and I said, hey, I'm going to be opening up a Zoom room on Mondays where we're going to be talking about here's what I want to accomplish this week. And then I'm going to open the Zoom room on Fridays and say, how did you do? And like, let's celebrate a win. Let's talk about a lesson you have from the week. How are you going to practice rest and rejuvenation over the weekend so that Monday you're prepared and in a good headspace to do it again? And it was really impactful. I saw a lot of people who were just craving that sense of community and sense of intentionality in their week. And so I've kind of grown it since then. And the High Vibe Mastermind still has that same structure. We meet on Mondays for 30 minutes and we chunk it out. It's a very easy bite-size actions that you're going to take towards your goal that week. And then we meet on Fridays and again, celebrate a win, a lesson, how'd you do with your things? And what does your weekend look like? Who are you as a person when you're not in, you know, work or be mode?
That's so cool. You're touching on like all the parts of a person in a space where they're comfortable, right? So you're zooming from wherever you are at home or a coffee shop or wherever to get work done. And I love that notion of just having community, especially in a time and place where, you know, life will never be what it was, right? So even though we are meeting and coffeeing and, you know, hanging out, it's still different now than what it was. Do you see, even now that we're, you know, getting back to get quote unquote, getting back to life and getting back to the way things again, never could be again, but has co-working changed? If so, how? I'm personally curious about how people are working together and do people really, you know, still need that accountability now that the world is open and people are meeting and hanging out again?
Yeah, I definitely still see it. I think one of the things that COVID showed us is that as much as companies want to say like we're a family and this is, you know, a lot of businesses had to make cutthroat decisions. A lot of women left the workforce to take care of their families and be a teacher and do all these sorts of things. And they realized that life is short and things, I mean, March 17th of 2020, the world completely changed. And like you said, we'll never go back to what it was. And we have to make the most out of every day as we possibly can. And there are so many people who decided to build businesses, start side hustles, bring a lot more intentionality to their life around like how they make money. So even if it's like, because my free co-working is Wednesdays from noon to two, and some people are doing business stuff, some people are doing side hustle stuff. Some people are just like getting through their email because they realize that like it was taking up so much brain space for them. And they have said, okay, this is my hour to do this. And because I do it from noon to two, at 3:30, I can close my laptop and I feel so good. And I can go out and I can hang out with my friends with nothing hanging over my head, or, you know, get my kids off the bus and sit and hear about their day, or do all these other things that make them human because they were really intentional with our time. And we have this, I was actually talking about this with my group this week. We're deconstructing a lot of what the patriarchal and capitalistic society has taught us is that if I pay you, you owe me 40 hours. And if you give me less than 40 hours, you're stealing from me. And it's like, no, this isn't a like one-to-one ratio. I am an expert in this. And because I can do it in 3 hours versus someone who just got out of college and can do it in 12, I don't now still owe you 9 more hours because I do it faster, better, more efficient. And so I do have time to read, learn, nurture other parts of me because I have this experience. And it's not this like transactional relationship. And I think we're really kind of like breaking out of that way of thinking.
And it's the experience, right? Like you're going to pay time or money. So In this case, you're paying for the time I spent getting to this place and not the time it takes me to learn the thing, which someone who has less experience in it is going to need more time to develop that expertise. Like it just, the math still maths to me that like you can't have it both ways. Right? So how do you encourage women to be able to draw that line?
Boundaries is a huge thing. And I always say to start with boundaries really small because they are a practice and they're a muscle. And as you use them more and more, and you'll notice that they creep up in different ways. Like I said no to a meeting at work and it was scary, but I didn't die. And so I'm going to feel okay saying no to, you know, my sister who is an energy vampire, and that feels a little bit harder and a little bit, you know, but again, I didn't die. And as you use them, use those muscles in smaller ways, you'll build them up and they just become easier and easier to use. And they really start to coat all the things in your life. So the way that you show up as a friend, a spouse, a parent, an entrepreneur, an employee, an employer, as you use these muscles and practices in one area of your life, you'll start to see the trickle-down effect in other areas of your life. You know, another way is to really chunk things out. I think that at the beginning of the year, we're like, we have these huge dreams, these huge ideas. And by, you know, February 21st, we're like, well, I have accomplished nothing. So that goes out the window. And it's like, what two things can you do tomorrow that would make you feel like you're getting closer towards your goal? My tagline is that big dreams and small steps can transform your life. It really is about the small incremental steps that you take, not the huge sweeping changes that you think should happen all at once. You know, I say should is a shame word because it is so heavy on us, especially in the rise of social media, because we see all these other people doing all these incredible things and their perfect home and they're exercising and eating well and their kids are, you know, already going to an Ivy League school. And it's like, you have no idea what's happening behind the scenes. And then having like a really solid North Star that you're working towards, because it makes the no's a lot easier. You know, like when we were buying this house, our North Star goal was to buy a new house. And so it created this filter for my actions, my spending, the resources I was putting out and taking control of the money that was coming in, because I knew that I wanted to buy this house. And if I, you know, spent too much money at Christmas, it could offset us buying this house or things like that. And it just makes the no's a lot easier because you realize what you want to say yes to.
I love that. And so did any of this work, like these steps, the thought process, did any of that play into your, I don't want to call it mental health, but like just your health journey in discovering as an adult, you know, being tested and questioning and looking for answers?
I think so. I tend to rush things. I was thinking back, like even when I was in fifth grade, my dad had me put this sign on my desk and it was Chao, C-A-I-O, check it all over. Because I was always like rushing on to the next thing. You know, I would make simple, silly mistakes. And so just taking a breath, taking a step back, was able to just change my grades in fifth grade. And that was the glaring thing that needed, not fixing, I wouldn't say fixing, but adjusting.
Attention.
And figuring out, you know, how to work with your brain. I think entrepreneurship for me, because I'm wearing so many hats, my to-do list is never ending. I would spin out and dissociate like so much faster. And everything felt so heavy because I just couldn't make a decision. And, you know, my brain just like never turns off. And I think that entrepreneurship was a microscope on that. I do think entrepreneurship is a very confronting experience. It is such a self-growth journey. Also, I have needed to give myself grace and just becoming like hyper aware of like how my brain is working and getting curious about it. And as you know, I used to like make jokes when I would talk to my sister about like hyper fixating on different things. You know, I always have 15 windows open and each window has at least 20 tabs in it. And my sister and I were working one time together and she was like, well, that's like, that looks like ADHD right there in your screen. And so I started to reflect back on different, you know, little things that people have said throughout the year, and you start to add them up and do some research and you're like, maybe I'm not broken. Maybe I'm not bad at this, bad at adulting. Like I always joke that I'm bad at adulting. And, you know, whether I ever decide to like go on medication or anything like that, understanding how my brain is wired and things that I can do to support my brain and not try to put a square peg in a round hole was like, this is worth checking out. I didn't really realize, even with good insurance, some of the roadblocks that come up when seeking a diagnosis. So that's been a whole nother journey. But I've definitely been on a journey of like, how can I support my brain in the way that it works and not try to fight against it, which is just a losing battle and exhausting, and also not the example I want to put out there for my daughter, for other entrepreneurs, for, you know, anybody kind of in my community.
And so what has that process been like? I too have great insurance, and navigating been nothing short of a nightmare.
Yeah. And for me, the first piece of it was even like coming to terms with it myself. Coming to terms with like I said, anybody else in my life who has talked to me about like having a mental health struggle, I've always been like, so like, okay, we got this, like we can do it. Like tried to be like a soft landing place. And for myself, my brain was like, well, your brain is broken. Something's wrong with you. And then on the flip side, it's like, what if I go down this whole journey and I don't have ADHD? Maybe I am just bad at adulting. Like those two things were very at friction, you know. If I did decide to go on meds, like one of the things that I have learned to love about myself is my brain and how I've learned to accept my creativity and the way that I am creative. And I love going on these big ideating sessions. And what if me going on meds like quiets that part of me that I actually really love? And so processing those emotions, I'm a big crier. So there was a weekend where I let myself cry a ton over it and just process it and take all of those things that are running through my head, those questions I was having, and writing them out and really sitting with them. So then I called my primary doctor and got in there and was talking with him. Of course, I cried again. And he gave me this list. Actually, I have it here. He gave me this list, which was last updated in January of 2016, which was 8 years ago. And I started calling of the 9, there were only 3 that were still practicing, and one was a pediatric office. And one told me, he talked at me for like 15 minutes. And then when I told him that I was 36 looking for a diagnosis, he's like, wow, you are really old. How have you gone this? I was like, okay. So like totally just like shut down. So then I emailed my primary doctor back and was like, hey, just so you know, this is like super outdated. Like this is not, don't give your patients this, is what I tried to say in like a nice way. And he was like, well, that's what we have at the office. Like Then I called my insurance because none of the people on this, the two that I did talk to, they didn't take any insurance. One was like $1,500 for a diagnosis. The other one was like $1,000. And I found some other people online. The cheapest I think I found was like $700, even with my insurance. So I called my insurance and was like, hey, can you give me a list of some providers? And so they, you know, did their search in their system and they emailed me a 42-page PDF. Like, do you think that I'm going to sit here and look through 42 pages? Like, where do you even start with that? So I have found a couple people, but again, it's like between $600 and $1,000 with insurance to get the diagnosis. It's not a drop in the bucket. So that's where I am at this moment with it. I'm still like, yeah, I'm just kind of on the fence with what next steps to take, but it's been very frustrating to even get here.
And your story is so similar to so many people. Like, it's, you're not an anomaly. I'm not an anomaly. Like, it's how the system works. And it's like, do I just use Google and make assumptions and just work off of that? Or just say, forget it. It is what it is. Especially for me being an adult, going from like a couple diagnoses, depression and anxiety has always, you know, been just along for the ride. But from bipolar disorder to borderline personality disorder to in this space of, oh, you could be autistic or it could be complex PTSD or it could be ADHD or it could be two of those three things or it could be, I'm like, you know what? I've got some tools. The tools work. Mm-hmm. And then being an adult, getting a diagnosis as an adult, that's a special group of people that most of them, most of the specialists work with youth. And so a couple decades from being a pediatric patient.
Right.
And then if you find somebody, at least for me, it's been, okay, well, I can see you in 4 months. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing in 4 months. I might not care in 4 months.
Right.
I'll call you back 6 months later. I don't have an appointment. I have a call back. And right. I'm like, yeah, what I'll just stay weird. I'm okay with that. I mean, like, I'm not looking to change who I am, right? So do I need the label?
Mm-hmm.
And will it help me anymore? Having had two diagnoses that were not correct, but still finding the tools and implementing the tools and being able to live a healthy lifestyle, even though there are some mental health conditions there, like, I don't know, maybe I will, maybe I won't. I haven't quite decided what I'm going to do. But it's interesting and sad that that is, you know, your experience. And I don't know one person actually that it was like, oh, it was a breeze.
Yeah.
And so just how for me, like, how do I help people through that process of whatever decision you make in the meantime, how do you get healthy? Like what is the space you want to be in? How do you want to show up for you while you figure out, you know, what to do in these other spots and places? And so in your spaces, in your circles, is this a conversation that you have in your groups? I know you talk about a lot of different pieces of self, but do you like have specific conversations around mental health or ADHD or the medical world?
Yeah, it's interesting because as I've started to share about my journey with it, others have started to share their journey with it, whether it is actual diagnosis or, you know, potential. Like, and until I started to do some research, I didn't realize the connection between ADHD, specifically in girls and women, and anxiety and depression. And I think that there's like this lost generation of, I think the percentage of women in my circles, whether that's friends, colleagues, clients, of women that are on some sort of anxiety medicine is more than is not. And, you know, how much is that connected to the fact that, like, oh, you weren't bouncing out of your seat when you were in third grade? You actually could pay attention, but like, you looked in my desk and you looked in my locker, you looked in my bedroom, you look in my car right now, you look at my desk and it's like, whoa, you know, but like, I can sit and get my work done. Someone described my masterminds a couple weeks ago as the part accountability and part moon circle, and like a blend of that, because I really do try to create grace and understanding and space for us as humans. And I heard this saying, it was in an Instagram post a few months back, and it talked about being the relaxed woman and how that was never modeled for us. We don't see it in society. We don't see it in our house. And I saw it and it instantly brought tears to my eyes, because I'm slowly shedding the like grind mentality, the hustle, and not having to like earn rest. But it is so ingrained in us and such a big construct of our day to day. And so the mindset aspect is such an important piece of conversations that we have in our circles. So the two questions I ask every Monday are, what are the 2 to 3 things you want to do to move the needle forward this week? And the second one is, ask for support. What support do you need in this? Whether it's a check-in, whether it's a, how are you doing? Whether it's a, send me something like this. It's just like, how can I support you this week? Because we don't tend to ask for it, but it makes a huge difference in like uplifting others, you know? And I always say too, like on Fridays, when we talk about how'd you do this week, a lot of times the win is, I made it. I'm here. I did 0 of the things that I wanted to do, and I still showed up, and like celebrating that, because it's so easy to just get trapped in the, you know, the shoulds, the what ifs, the, you know, I'm not enough. So that mindset, whether it is to do with, you know, ADHD, anxiety, depression, or just the inner critic, is so important.
I think this is an incredible place for you to tell people how to find you, how to get in touch with you, how to find the podcast, Jazzcast Pros Network, how to learn more about living a high vibe life, what that means for them. How can people find you? How can they get in touch?
I show up mostly on Instagram and LinkedIn. So my Instagram is at High Vibe Cowork, H-I-G-H, and LinkedIn, Mershon Hargrave. And then my podcast comes out every Wednesday on the Jazzcast Pros Network, or you can go to highvibecowork.com/podcast. Or Wednesdays are my like big 30-minute episodes. I do both solo episodes and guest episodes. But then Mondays and Fridays, I do bonus episodes. My Mondays are my Monday motivation. There are 3 to 4 minutes just to get your week started and going and get you in a place to be excited to keep showing up. And then Fridays, I celebrate wins for my community, whether that's on Instagram, threads, in my network, on LinkedIn, because I think that sweeping the small victories under the rug does us such a disservice. We have to celebrate the big wins, the small victories, and everything in between, because that's how you keep going.
That is incredible. So in our conversation today, I pulled out 7 steps, 7 tips, 7 tools. So in developing a high vibe life where accountability is key, that is the first step, accountability, right? Whether it is in a co-work space, whether it's amongst your friend group, like accountability is key. We started our conversation about how do we get here. Out of all the things, all the places, accountability was it. So that's my number one. Number two that really stood out was setting boundaries, and that whole process of boundary setting, exercising the boundary setting muscle, because it's work. The being able to say no to this so I could say yes to my goals, really just, you know, I'm like, are you up in my business? But okay, I'll just let that be. So boundaries. Chunk it out. So I did a couple episodes around New Year's resolutions. And like, if you're going to make a change, just make a change. What's the healthy thing? What's the thing that moves you, drives you? So chunking it out so you have those more smaller attainable goals was right in alignment with my personal life and living a front seat life and living with, you know, living a healthy lifestyle with mental health conditions or healthy illness. My next number one, which is number four, is follow the North Star, that goal, right? Like what's, and I mean, maybe there's more than one North Star. We have different parts of our lives. We do different things, but like having that North Star to guide all of the other work. Celebrate the wins. Hello, big and small, no matter what it is. And sometimes the wind is breathing, right? Like I showed up today, period. And I'm going back to bed, right? Well, let's celebrate that win. And then asking for help. I heard that a couple times, like in our conversation, is like being able to ask for help, whether it's from a doctor, and then adjusting, right? When you are very clear in your ask and you get some bullshit, you're like, this is not working. So I still need help. And asking for help again, I think is really key to not living and doing this work alone. Like if people are showing up in the group, but not asking for help or saying this is where I like, are we able to reach our goals all on our own? I don't think the answer to that question is yes, because then we'd all be goal reachers.
And you don't get a gold star for doing it alone.
Right.
Like you don't get a star on your belly because you didn't ask for help and you grinded it out all by yourself.
Facts. And back to that celebration, that community, I can't think of the word. I was going to say love, but that's a strong word. But I that is the word that I feel in spaces like that, because everybody is on the same page, doing different things, different goals. But the love of self, the love of others, wanting other people to succeed and celebrating them and their wins, that community, love was the right word. So we're going to stick with love because love wins. Be the light. Those were my big seven takeaways. Are there any other pieces you want to add to that?
I don't think so. I think you nailed it.
You nailed it. I just repeated what you said. Oh. Like you did it. That was good.
Yeah. You know, Jen Sincero, in her books, she always ends every chapter with love yourself. And that is crucial, you know?
And love isn't always easy.
Well, when you're doing things that are outside of your comfort zone, growing, starting new boundary, it's going to be messy. And you have to love yourself through the process too. Yeah.
And that's a part of it, is loving the mess.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a ooh, warm and bubbly, fuzzy feeling. It's this is something I need to learn and get through and all of the things. And so even I'm thinking about your words in our conversation and, you know, like this illusion of perfection, this illusion of having everything together. And like, I totally always have a stack of things behind me that are usually spread out on the table. And then when it's time to record, I put it all together in one pile. I know it'll hide behind me in the camera. You get to see the plants that look beautiful. And then when I turn the camera off, I spread everything back out because everything has a place. But I don't show up that way in this space, and not to appear to be put together, just like a hot mess behind me, and I don't want to be a distraction, right? So let me put it all together and have it appear a little more put together than it actually is. But that's what we do, right? In order to wear the many roles and hats and accomplish our goals, sometimes we just stack stuff up and keep it moving, which is also okay.
Yep.
Any parting words, final thought?
If you have ever been interested in joining a co-work session, again, it's Wednesdays from noon to 2 EST, all free. We'd love to have you join.
And all of Marshawn's information and High Vibe information will be in the show notes. So feel free to click the link to check it out and join us next week on the Healthy Illness Podcast, next week Monday and next week Wednesday for High Vibe Table Talk, both on the JazzCast Pros Network. Like, subscribe, and share. Thank you so much for listening, Marshawn. Thank you so much for joining me. I cannot wait. Are you going to be in DC at Podcast Movement?
Oh, yeah.
So we live an hour away, but it is what it is. I may not see you until August, and that's all right, but I can't wait. Yeah. until the next time, I encourage you to be the light. If you're looking for resources, try dialing 211, either on your phone or in your browser. 211 is a national line. 211 is a place where you go to get information you need, to find resources and assistance in many of the places and spaces in your life. And if you need someone to talk to, please dial 988. You are never alone. If you call 988, you will be connected with a person who is there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to speak. Please dial 988 if you need someone to talk to. Until the next time, I encourage you to be the light. Welcome to the 100s. We are in the hundreds when it comes to episodes for Healthy Illness Podcast. We are still out here in these podcast streets. Until the next time, be the light. Thank you so much.
That was awesome. That was so cool. I realized that since starting my podcast that I have not been a guest on any podcast since I started mine. So it's been really cool to be on this side again.
Well, welcome. Anytime you like, we can chat.
Yeah. It's 100 episodes. That's so cool.
It's so wild. Like, it doesn't even seem real. But I remember those first days, and I was using my webcam mic, which is a horrible quality. Great webcam, but the mic is, you know, trash. And then I bought a mic and that was still bad. I'm like, but it was like expensive. It was $25. Mm-hmm. Jazz was like, yeah, no, it's not working. And then finally broke down last year and got the Shure mic. Still at it. So wait, your Tuesdays, your groups are?
Masterminds are Monday, Fridays, co-working on Wednesdays.
Well, thank you so much. It was good to see you and can't wait to take pictures in all the cool podcast movement spaces. Big shout out to Podcast Movement, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe you could sponsor Jazzcast
Sponsor Pro Network
and High Vibe Table Talk and Healthy Illness Podcasts.
Exactly.